Not long ago, a group of youngsters were asked, what is it about the United States that you like? Right? If I asked you the same question, what would you say? Jackie, age 9, said, well, we've got more stuff and things in America than anywhere in the world. We have pizza as well, and it don't grow any other place on the earth except maybe Italy. Nine years old. Okay. Heather, age 5. America is the best because people in other countries are smaller and they get trodden on easy. Elliot, age 9. Everybody wants to live in America because we own the moon. The president bought the moon from God for $1 million, and I saw him send spacemen up on TV. Tina, age 6. America is great because you get the best friends here. The last time I counted, I had 1,000 friends, and I don't know anyone with as many friends as me. Yeah, this was before, Facebook, so. All right. David, age 9. America is great because it's bigger and has more supermarkets. I don't know much about other countries except Russia. I know there's a lot of Russians in Russia. Smart kid. Jonathan, age 8. Other countries aren't free like America. They won't let you go to church, and if you do, they throw you in prison and whip you. Or Sean, age 9. America is great because they have the most plumbers in the world. That's because we've got more tubs. I want to be a plumber like my uncle because he's really rich. I mean, what does it mean to be an American? It means that others have given of their lives blood to forge out of this free land. We dare not to take their sacrifices for granted. So let's think for a moment about what the gift of freedom really means to us in our daily lives. First of all, freedom carries with it some responsibilities. It has become a cliche, but it's true that freedom is not free. Yeah, I hate cliches, but sometimes they're true. Writer John Marquard, in his book, Wickford Point, tells about a fictional family named Brill. The Brills are an unusual family. They're living off the lingering reputation of an ancestor known as the Wickford Sage. The Sage was a famed New England poet, left them a lot of money, and they're all just living on high cotton, we'd say here in the South. All the characters in the Brill family, they are completely wasted, though. Archie, the father, is a mural artist who never paints any murals. The young men are forever chasing after improbable jobs that don't amount to anything. And their sisters are forever chasing after rich old family males who will never amount to anything either. The Brills are bound to each other by unhealthy dependency. But it is their mother, Clothilda, who epitomizes the family. She spends most of her life lounging on couches and asking, why doesn't anybody take care of me? I get tired of doing everything for everybody. I have to take care of everybody else all the time. It would be nice if somebody would take care of me for a change. The problem is that everybody in the family says the same thing, each in his own or her own way. The Brills have one thing many of us long for, economic freedom, but their freedom has robbed them of their sense of responsibility. We often criticize today's poor for their sense of entitlement, their sense that the world owes them a living, but we ignore the fact that the wealthy have always felt that way. Pampered people rarely develop a sense of responsibility. Without a sense of responsibility to our families and to our communities, to God, we waste away emotionally, morally, spiritually. Freedom carries with it responsibilities, but it also carries with it consequences. The freedom to drive a car carries with it the terrible weight of responsibility for the damage that a car, if it is out of control, can do. The freedom to eat what you choose carries with it the responsibility to choose healthy food, not to overindulge. Paul writes about freedom in our lesson from Galatians. Do not be deceived, he says. God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth into his own flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth into the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Freedom means that we reap what we sow. It's one of the primary laws of life. If you sow a good life, you reap a good life. If you sow a tawdry, indulgent life, you reap accordingly. It's our choice. That's why Paul tells us, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. We shall not faint out. Freedom carries with it consequences. One of the consistent themes of Paul's writings is the precarious balance between freedom and license. Paul knew that what often seems to be freedom leads not to wholeness and health, but to disintegration and to death. And many people lose the things most precious to them because they cannot handle the gift of freedom. Harriet Tubman knew about how precious freedom was. Her grandparents are both members of the Ashanti people of Ghana. Her grandparents kidnapped from the land in 1725, sold into slavery. She was the third generation in her family to live as slaves, but she became a link to freedom, not just for her family, but for hundreds of other slave families as well. She became the most famous conductor on what, of course, was known as the Underground Railroad. Her flight from slavery was sparked by rumors that there were plans to sell her and her two brothers to a chain gang. And if the back-breaking labors of the chain gang weren't enough, they would probably never see their family again. So she decided it was time to escape. So she wandered by her parents' cottage that night, singing a little song, a gospel tune about being, quote, bound for the promised land. It was a secret code that many slaves used to signal that they were planning to leave. And she escaped that night and was successful, and she traveled mostly by night through the fields and barns to hide out during the day. There were designated stops along this multi-state trek at the homes whose they were sympathetic to the cause of freedom. And her destination was one of the northern states or even Canada, where many escaped slaves made their homes. Her life depended on her every step. The fact that lone women successfully traveling to freedom was remarkable in itself. The fact that that she chose to go back is what's really remarkable. And she did so hundreds of times to lead others on that Underground Railroad to freedom. She risked recapture, beating, jail times, and even death to help others out of slavery. She and her charges must have suffered from hunger, fear, a lack of sleep, extremes of the weather, exhaustion, and they still traveled on. At one point, on the last leg of their trip into Canada, they had to cross a flimsy bridge of wooden planks suspended over the swelling Niagara River. Surely there were times when they all wanted to turn back, and it was just at times like this that Harriet counseled children, if you are tired, keep going. If you are scared, keep going. If you are hungry, keep going. And Harriet herself kept going, risking her life to lead thousands of slaves to freedom. In March 1997, an Ebony magazine contained a very telling quote from Miss Tubman. She once said, "I freed thousands of slaves. I could have freed thousands more if they had known they were slaves." Knowing freedom has its consequences. She could have saved thousands more if they had known they were slaves. There are people today who are slaves and they don't even know it. Slaves to dangerous and disgusting habits, slaves to dehumanizing and degrading lifestyles, slaves to self-defeating attitudes and life-denying practices. We live in a society that thinks it can defy the laws of sowing and reaping, but it is an illusion. You want a healthy body? Then sow the right seeds of a healthy body. Want a healthy marriage? Then sow the seeds of a healthy marriage. We are free. We can choose. But freedom has consequences. And then there's one more thing to be said about freedom. Our freedom cost Christ his life. There is the testimony of the New Testament. Christ died so that we can be free. No wonder Paul later wrote this same chapter, "But far be it from me to glory save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified unto me and I unto the world." Our freedom came at a price, and the price was Christ's blood. Maya Angelou tells a story about Tom, who was a slave in the antebellum South. Tom's owner allowed him to take jobs off of a plantation at night and on holidays and on weekends. He could work. He would work all day long on the plantation, then walk several miles into town and work there to earn money that he could keep. And after 2 hours of sleep, he would rise and repeat the process. And this went on for years and years. And he saved every single penny. He didn't marry. He didn't spend the money. He saved it all. And after he had stashed away $1,000, he went to the owner of the plantation and asked him how much would it take to buy his freedom. And the owner said that most slaves brought between $800 and $1,200. But since Tom was older and had no children, if he wanted to buy his own freedom, he would let him go for $600. And Tom thanked the owner, returned to his cab, and he dug up the money. And as he fondled the cash in his hands, he began to remember how long, how much work it had taken to earn it, and how hard it had been. And finally, he put it back in the hiding place, returned to the owner and told him, "Boss, freedom is a little too high right now. I'm going to wait till the price comes down." The cost of freedom, it is high. For John Sager's family, it meant the constant threat of suffering and death on the Oregon Trail. For Harriet Tubman, it meant dangers on the Underground Railroad. For Christ, it meant death on Golgotha's Hill. What does freedom mean to you? I hope it means a life of responsible living, living a life in service to God and to your community. Freedom is a precious gift. And the abuse of freedom carries consequences because our freedom was bought by Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we are aware that in this great weekend celebration, we have the opportunity to celebrate freedom. But for many of us, it is a hollow celebration because we don't really know what it means. We take it for granted and then we abuse it. For others, it is something that has been earned carefully over many, many years. And so all in between, that's where we are. And today, as we gather around this table to celebrate communion, we pray that your presence is so powerful that it gives us a sense, just a taste of what real freedom is all about, its responsibilities and its consequences, and the gratitude that we have that it is ours. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.